Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Radio. Living the dream once again here on a fully loaded Sports Saturday, Fox Sports Saturday, broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, we're going to help get you there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. The seventh and final round of this 2024 NFL draft is now underway, so we are coming down the stretch. Of course, our countdown, Monsi, to Mr. Irrelevant at 257. That will be the Jets pick, and it's hard to call him Mr. Irrelevant after what happened 2 years ago with Brock Purdy being the last pick of the draft, and 2 years later leading the NFL in passing rating. So
yeah,
now
we
all
need
of a sudden
change the name.
Yeah,
it's got to be like the Purdy pick. That's it. The
I
Purdy
like
pick.
It. I like that.
It cannot be Mr. It just cannot. All right, with the Purdy pick, we've got the Jets. Let's see who they take, because it is impossible for it to carry that name now. It's just it's not what it is.
Okay, I have the perfect pick for the Jets.
For the Purdy pick,
because he's a Purdy guy.
Okay.
And I'm talking about my namesake, Sam Hartman, who is still the rage with all the ladies on TikTok, went gaga over that 40-yard dash with that beautiful head of hair just flowing along. He's still on the board right now, going to New York. And remember, Aaron Rodgers, how much longer is Aaron Rodgers going to be around? Maybe a year or two. Sam Hartman in New York in a Jets uniform would be a huge PR move for the Jets.
Actually, that's pretty brilliant. It's like you just said, they got rid of Zach Wilson, so it's just right now Aaron Rodgers. What does your future look like? He is a good, at least we think he would fit in a market like New York. I'm into that.
Uh-huh.
Now let's see if they pull the trigger. Because, you know, the Jets
it's the last pick of the draft. I mean, it's not exactly like they got a bunch of quarterbacks lined up. So if the Jets are listening, I know you are right now. I know you're busy in the draft room, but come on now. Take Sam Hartman.
Yeah, no, that would be a good
who
one.
Who is still on the board. All right, so they are rifling quickly through this seventh and final round of the NFL draft. Coming up, Adam Kaplan's going to be joining us. We got a lot of unanswered questions
so many
coming out of the draft.
So many.
I want to get to the one that we'll obviously ask Adam about, but of all the picks in this draft, the Michael Penix trade. And this is hard for me because I voted Penix for the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
It was only the third time in 14 years that I've been voting for the Heisman that my pick is someone that did not win the Heisman. He led the University of Washington all the way to the championship game. There was nothing to complain about outside of the fact that he had four consecutive years at Indiana ended by injury before he found prosperity and health up in Seattle with the Washington Huskies. But I can't wait for Adam Kaplan. To me, there is no spin on this pick. There is no way you can justify, because if I said this once, I've said it a million times. When it comes to the draft, it's not always about just who you take. It's about where you take them. You could have gotten Michael Penix much lower. Okay, you say, well, wait a second here. We looked at those 11, 12, 13 picks, right? You had Minnesota, you had Denver, and you had the Raiders, all possibly taking quarterbacks. But why would you be thinking quarterback when you just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed? I mean, it's a $180 million deal, but you gave him $100 million guaranteed, including $90 million up front. Why would you even be thinking about a quarterback in the top 10 picks?
I could not agree with you more, even though there are spins that people are throwing at me or they can throw at us. One of the things is, in 2 years, everybody's price is going to go up. Because right now, the Falcons aren't spending a lot of money. Aside from Kirk Cousins, you know, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, they're all still young. So in 2 years, maybe they're just wondering what's going to happen with these players and if they want to just get rid of Kirk Cousins and then go forward with Michael Penix Jr. But even with that, I agree. Like, if I'm Minnesota, I'm like, what was the point of this then? Why did you outbid for Kirk Cousins? Why did you take him away from us? There's so many question marks. Like, if the Falcons had questions about Kirk Cousins' health, then why did you sign him for what you did? We already know he's going through a huge, huge injury at an age that is not ideal, but yet you're the one who pulled the trigger. So why did you do all of this? It really makes no sense, unless they're thinking like in 2 years, they want to just kind of turn a new leaf. And again, they're not paying anybody right now. Everybody else is still so young on their squad.
Well, maybe they don't have long-term plans for Kirk Cousins. Again, Michael Penix Jr. will be 24 years old coming up on May 8th.
Yes.
24 years old on May 8th.
Just a little
so
older
than that. So that's how old he will be as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. And if Kirk Cousins ends up playing the next 4 years of that contract and doesn't have any injuries, one, you probably will keep him after that. And even if you then make the decision, all right, we're going to move to Michael Penix as he gets to the age of 29, you also have the dilemma of a fifth-year option on a first-round quarterback that you have to decide whether or not he's in your future. It is conceivable that if Kirk Cousins is fully recovered from that Achilles injury and can play healthy and productive for the Atlanta Falcons, that they will have used a pick on a player that will never play a game for this team. It is conceivable that, if Kirk Cousins can stay healthy over the next 4 years, that Michael Penix Jr. will never actually see action outside of taking a knee at the end of a route.
I don't think that's what they're thinking. It has to be that they are thinking, what happens in 2 years? That has to be their mind right now, with question marks surrounding what happens in 2 years.
Well,
but
they said that was
at
the same. Though, we're looking to be contenders long term. Okay. Wait a second.
All right. Well, you know, so do a lot of people, actually. So do a lot of teams right now feel like they're going to be long-term contenders. Really, it just makes no sense. I am curious to know if this was the plan all along. And if it was, why didn't you tell Kirk Cousins this and his people? Because his agent came out and said, we were not told until they were on the clock and they made the call. And I don't see how this does not affect morale with your brand new quarterback that you're giving $100 million guaranteed to. How does this not affect that?
I remember a situation with the Chargers a few years ago where Phillip Rivers was, you know, getting along in years. They hadn't had a lot of success, and they had the seventh pick in the draft. And it was a sixth or seventh pick in the draft. And there was a lot of buzz that they were going to take Deshaun Watson. A lot of buzz. No one was thinking about Patrick Mahomes at that point, except apparently the Chiefs. But Deshaun Watson was on everyone's radar. And it was, you know, you could be picking a quarterback of the future. And instead, they took Mike Williams, the receiver, who obviously is no longer with the Chargers. By the way, the next pick was Christian McCaffrey. You passed on him. But anyway, and you also passed on Patrick Mahomes if you were going to go quarterback. But I remember actually having Phillip Rivers on the next day, saying that he was relieved that they realized, no, we have to play for now. You're giving me another weapon. And the idea of wasting a pick on some quarterback of the future when I'm still here, doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, did it work? Not really. I mean, the Chargers actually did make one playoff run after that, but Mike Williams ended up being in and out of the lineup constantly with injuries. But yeah, Kirk Cousins, and I love this, that he and Penix apparently had some kind of
conversation. He called, yes.
Again,
because that is what you're supposed to do at that point. That is how you handle it from that point forward. Right?
Kirk Cousins has got a lot of money in the bank.
He just got
a $90 million put into his bank account. But again, if you're Kirk Cousins, it's like, I left Minnesota because you not only paid me a lot of money, but you made certain guarantees for me. And then to blindside me like this, this is not what I signed up for.
I agree. Like, Kirk Cousins seems like everybody after, you know, quarterback, everybody loves Kirk Cousins. He just seems like such a down-to-earth guy with a lot of money who still shops at Kohl's. I mean, we all love that. How does this not psychologically affect him? He wants to play. He's not like, great, I just got a lot of money and I'm going to sit and be a backup. That's not what he wants. He wants to go out and compete, especially last year up until his injury. He was competing with the Vikings. He was winning, you know, primetime games. That was his, kryptonite for so long. He was at such a high point until he got injured. And I'm sure he just wants to go back into that. And now he's like, so are you going to, like, get rid of me in, like, 2 years? Is this the plan? Or is he going to, like, swoop in 1 year and I'm just going to have to teach him the ways?
No, he got $100 million. I mean, you know, he can rest comfortably, but
I don't think he wants to rest comfortably. That's what I'm saying.
Thoroughbred Racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that is implementing comprehensive reforms, and the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep its athletes safe. To learn more, visit safetyruns.com. That's safetyruns.com. All right, to break down what has happened in this draft as we are rifling through this seventh and final round, we have our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, will join us next. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Really?
Of course. Do you see what shirt I'm wearing? I'm wearing a Backstreet Boys shirt.
Wow.
Don't you really?
I'm going to reveal something right now. I've always been a Backstreet Boys fan.
That's right. I love you even more.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm out of the closet. Steve Harbin, Monty Bolaños, Fox Sports Saturday. We are coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios. I don't know if this guy's a Backstreet Boys fan, but I know this. He knows NFL football better than anyone. We bring on our insider, Adam Kaplan. I'm not going to ask you about the Backstreet Boys, but I am going to ask you about the Falcons and Michael Penix Jr. So now that you've had a couple of days to digest the most controversial pick in this 2024 NFL draft, I'm sure you're trying to figure out, like the rest of us, any sound reason for this pick. What have you come up with?
Well, all right, guys, good to be with you. Yeah, so just to give you an idea, I was doing television for Sports Grid on Thursday night, and I warned the producers and powers that be and also the talent. I said, guys, there are going to be some strange things happening tonight. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to be, but there are going to be some head-scratching moves. Get ready to pivot to something crazy. I didn't think, though, it was going to be what the Falcons did at number eight. That I was not thinking would happen. So basically I checked into it because like everyone else, I'm like, what? You can't be serious. So first of all, by contract structure, the Falcons literally cannot do a thing with Kirk Cousins other than playing for a minimum of 2 seasons. So unless he gets hurt, Michael Penix will not be playing for 2 years. Michael Penix turns 24 next month. He'll be 26. If everything goes well with Kirk Cousins, he won't start a game until he's probably 27. So it's kind of like, okay, well, what are they doing? So they wanted Penix so badly. In fact, they had the opportunity, as I understand it, to trade down. They were so worried about the Raiders and a couple other teams, as I understand it. They're like, we're getting Penix. We're not going to be screwed out of getting him for the future. We understand Kirk Cousins is going to sit for at least a couple years, but it's a quarterback position. These guys could play until their late 30s. Cousins, by the way, turns 36 soon. And that, you know, to sum it up, that's it. I mean, that's where we're at now. I know a bunch of people I spoke to in the NFL from clubs, they scratch their head. Why would you want to sit your first round pick for 2 seasons? And here's another thing. What if Cousins plays incredibly well, is healthy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to it would be hard to trade him also because of his contract and his age. He'll be 38 then. I get the consternation because, by the way, the lines makers, before the draft started, had already picked the Falcons to win the division, the NFC South, over the Buccaneers who won it last season.
So, Adam, was that the plan all along, though, for Atlanta? Or was this something it was the plan?
I believe that. I believe it strongly. Now, that video that's out there, look, you guys have me on, I'll explain how this works. Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner, that video that's out there, it cannot be that he didn't know that it doesn't work like that. So GMs tell me that they either tell, they all along, the owner has been included in what's going on, but they don't tell him finally what it's going to be, usually till 24 hours before or the morning of. It's not like on the clock they decide this stuff. This is never happens. It never does. Now, what he can tell him is, listen, we looked at trade down possibilities. We weren't comfortable with it. That might have happened. I know the video set out there seems to be like, wow, he just found out that they're doing this. There's no way that happened. Just want to put that to sleep because it doesn't work like that. I've never heard that before, that they wait to tell the owner when they're on the clock. That's complete nonsense.
Because it also came out that his agent said that they weren't told until they were on the clock.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though. Talking to the I'll give you an example. Last year, the Panthers... there was this really bad rumor from a message board, and it actually wound up moving the line because the news aggregators put it out, and they shouldn't have, that Will Levis was told he was going to be the first pick overall. Mm-hmm. I typically disregard the stuff as nonsense. I had to call the Panthers anyway about something. I said, hey, by the way, this is out there. Please feel free to shoot it down. And they shot it down. They said, we're not telling anyone until we're on the clock. I said, why would we tell them? Because what if we get an unbelievable offer that we can't turn down? Although they already made a decision, it was going to be Bryce Young weeks before that. But why would you not wait until you're on the clock? What if someone offered 3 first-round picks? You just never know. So that's the way it works.
All right, so I guess no one was paying attention to what happened in the draft 3 years ago with the quarterbacks, right? I mean, we had 5 quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks, crazy. And 4 of them now officially are no longer with their original team.
Wow.
And now you have 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. By the way, let's talk about the Broncos pick of Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I, can't imagine that that was like, oh, we're praying that Bo Nix is going to be there for us at number 12. So was this like their third quarterback? Did the Broncos try to move up to get a different quarterback? How excited are they to get a Bo Nix that most people projected as a second-round pick? Yep. Let's get into the head there of Sean Payton and his plans moving forward with Bo Nix as his quarterback of the future.
Yes, Steve, my understanding was, I mean, you could take it for what it is. He thought, according to someone who has been in touch with the Broncos over last week and kind of hinted to me, it's going to be Nix, but this guy thought he'd go, like, they'd trade up from the second round or something. He just didn't see this. He saw some Drew Brees in him, and stylistically. Might be a little bit taller than Brees. And Brees, by the way, was the first pick overall in the second round by the Chargers, so it wasn't like Drew was a first-round pick or a high first-round pick. The thing that I'm learning is, Steve, as I this is year 24 for me covering the NFL, when a team zeroes on a quarterback, they more often than not will not trade down to get the player. They're so scared about losing that player. Now, here's another thing. What we don't know is, what was plan B if someone shocked the world and selected this quarterback, Nix, over them? Because remember now, the next quarterback to go, this is incredible. Spencer Rattler was the next quarterback, and he went in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Aside from quarterbacks, now let's move on to the 49ers. There's been a lot of trade rumors about possibly moving on from Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel. They did draft a wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall, from
Arizona.
That was
surprising.
Yeah. So what do you think the 49ers' plan is moving forward?
Yeah, so Ayuk is not signed for past this season. Debo has had an injury history, really talented. This is sort of a Kyle Shanahan guy. Kyle made the call as he has personnel control. They could get out of Debo Samuel's contract without owing him a dime after this season by structure. I think after the season, you're probably going to see some changes at receiver. I would say, another nugget for you, they're what we call a heavy 12 personnel team. They don't play a lot of three receivers. So are you really going to sit Ricky Pearsall? I mean, I'm not ruling anything out here. I get it. The draft is almost over here, so any chance to trade Ayuk and Samuel during the draft is over, because you're only going to get compensation for next season. And the other thing is, look, they think they're a Super Bowl team again. They think they can get back there. So, yeah, it is really, really odd. I did not see that. I get it. And their third receiver, Juwan Jennings, is on a one-year RFA tender for around $4 million, which is a lot for a number three receiver, particularly when they don't play a lot of three receiver sets. You're on it, Monty. This is a team to watch, because one way or the other, I don't see Ayuk and Samuel returning for 2025.
Yeah. Obviously, with the arrival of Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers are suddenly in the spotlight. I was not upset about this pick. I thought Joe Alt was a good selection for them. You have a franchise quarterback. You want to protect him. Now they got the bookend tackles with Slater on the other side. But what happened here was, suddenly defensive players were forgotten. It wasn't until my guy Latu out of UCLA at 15, first defensive player off the board. Now, I know you talked, and we had talked about the possibility of Dallas Turner going to the Chargers, fifth overall, the edge guy out of Alabama. So was this just because of the run on quarterbacks, run on wide receivers, really run on offensive tackles, that suddenly everyone lost sight of the fact there are a few defensive players on the board?
Yeah, look, not till 15, and that's certainly surprising. But here's what I've been told. This was not a high-end or elite defensive player class. It wasn't. It was a lot of good players. No one, what you call a blue-chip prospect defensively. The first corner was taken by the Eagles, Quinion Mitchell. In fact, the fact that Howie Roseman, their GM, didn't trade up for him was astonishing, because he's a guy who, he's made 8 first-round trades since he's been the general manager since 2010. Nobody's done more of them. It's kind of hard to believe, but they didn't even trade up. That tells you this draft was not strong. By the way, Dallas Turner, a couple teams told me they considered taking him within the top 15. It's just kind of the way the board went. And then, by the way, the Minnesota Vikings trade up to get him at number 17.
You don't think this is an indication that the league is just moving into a more offensive pro league?
Oh, it has been for years, though.
Yeah.
It has been for years.
Yeah.
But the talent level is better on offense, to be honest with you. It's way better.
All right. So years and years and years ago on my radio show I remember this. Bobby Bethard got upset at me when I questioned trading up for Ryan Leaf. and
or Brian Still. Or,
yeah, some of those. Well, he was a big proponent of trading next year's number one for a this year number two, which seemed an odd way of approaching the draft. But, you know, I remember the San Diego Union-Tribune giving the Chargers an A-plus for Ryan Leaf the day after the draft. And I thought to myself, how are we grading a draft the day after the draft? My partner and I, Philly Billy Warndell, we started doing Billy, long time with he's still kicking around. Yeah. We used to do the draft 3 years later. We figured after 3 years, we can legitimately hand out a grade as far as the draft is concerned. I'm going to put that aside. At least based on need and where they selected players, which is something you can't judge during the draft. Which team do you think did the best so far?
I would say that I love the Packers, what they did. Getting Jordan Morgan, they addressed a need at left tackle, potentially. He also could play guard. Edgerton Cooper, the best off-the-ball linebacker for this draft. Javon Bullard, one of the best safeties in the draft in the second round. Marshawn Lloyd, the best third-down back for this draft, which they could certainly use for the future. I thought they did really, really well. I kind of like what Houston did. Kamari Lassiter, I know they didn't have a first-round pick, but he's a guy probably will be a starter. They got Blake Fisher, who's a guy who could play tackle or guard. I like what they did. They got Kate Stover, who's a very talented tight end in the fourth round. The Raiders, here's what I like about what the Raiders did. They could have gone with a corner, which is a need, but they took the best player available.
Yes.
I can't tell you how important that means to me. They didn't need a tight end. They went with Michael Mayer last year. They went with Brock Bowers, the best player on the board, one of the top three players for this draft. Just take, don't worry about what anyone else thinks. Take the best player, because Brock Bowers could be one of the best tight ends in football in the next 3 or 4 years. And Jackson Powers Johnson, the best center for the draft. DeCam Richardson, if you're a Raiders fan listening, super high upside corner, long, athletic. And then one of my favorite players for the draft, Dylan Lobby out of New Hampshire. I met Dylan. That's a senior ball, one of the best players during senior ball practices. He was phenomenal. They got him in the sixth round, who could be their third down back. So I thought the Raiders did well.
All right, so I told Monsi that as far as Mr. Irrelevant is concerned, the obvious pick for the Jets is Sam Hartman. Not just because his name is Hartman, but look, they need some kind of quarterback for the future, right? And in a city like New York, because he's a TikTok sensation with the ladies, you know, with the flowing hair and that 40-yard dash he had at the combine, I think Sam Hartman would be the perfect final pick of this draft.
Which we're now calling the Purdy pick.
You don't throw very well, but Michael Pratt from Tulane, who had fourth and fifth round grades from teams, he's still available. It's stunning to me. Sam Hartman is a guy that I didn't think would get drafted. He's a gamer, fairly athletic. He just doesn't throw the ball very well. But he won the beard game, though. He's got the best beard.
Oh, he's got the hair, man.
And the
he's
hair,
got
too.
The
yeah,
look.
I saw him up close. Yeah,
this,
he does.
This
he
is
really
a
does.
Publicity stunt.
I got it, man.
The Brock Purdy is a once in a million years type of situation. It's not going to happen again.
I know.
All right. Well, Adam, I know it's been a very busy time for you. We appreciate it. And we'll have plenty of time in the weeks ahead to sort of settle in on the next step that never ends around the National Football League. By the way, what do they end up as far as fans are concerned in Detroit? I know they set records. What, about 700,000 over
yeah, well,
days.
I know when they first put it out, it was over 550,000. It's really incredible beating Philly. I was here for the Philly draft, which is just insane.
Mm.
But they love having it outdoors, and I believe the weather held up, which is great. Tennessee's one was great in Nashville. In Las Vegas, I was there last year. It was phenomenal, and it just gets bigger and bigger. It's really remarkable how big the draft is.
Yeah, we had no cameras in the room with Al Davis and Ron Wolf and Tom Flores when I was there. Nothing back in the 80s. It was a whole different world out there. All right, Adam, great stuff as always. Thanks. Yes. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Adam Kaplan, our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. All right, let's find out what is trending right now. Martin is back. Hi, Martin.
How you doing?
Double duty every weekend now, pretty much.
You know me. I'm versatile.
I love that.
You know what
I
I'm saying? I like some of these offensive linemen taking it. I can play outside. You can kick me inside. It depends on who's on the roster.
It is good to see you out there. Well, we haven't even gotten to the NBA, the playoffs going on. We got baseball. We got a lot of things going on.
It is a lot going on. First, we'll start with some little sad news. Damian Lillard diagnosed with a grade 1 Achilles strain, doubtful for game 4 of the playoffs tomorrow at Indiana. Pacers leading that series 2-1. Cavaliers at the Magic earlier today. Orlando wins 111-89. Series now tied 2 games apiece. Going back to Cleveland for Game 5, Franz Wagner with 34 points, 13 rebounds. Thunder and the Pelicans down in New Orleans. Oklahoma City wins Game 3 of that series, 106-85. Pelicans, thanks for coming out. Celtics and the Heat about to get started the second quarter in Miami. That series is tied at 1 apiece. The score right now, 24-12 in favor of the one-seeded Boston Celtics. Had some drama on the ice earlier today. Hurricanes and the Islanders, Game 4. Carolina with a 3, going into the game, had a 3-0 lead on the series. Islanders keep it alive, though, in double overtime, winning 3-2. Obviously now a 3-1 lead for the Hurricanes. Also in the NHL, the Panthers and the Lightning's about 8 minutes left in the second period. Tampa Bay with a 4-2 lead over the Panthers, who have a 3-0 lead in the series. And there was a couple NFL draft trades going on. We are now in the 7th round. And the big name that just came off the board, Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, is going to USC. I'm sorry, he went to USC for college, plays wide receiver. He's going to stay in Southern California, going to your Chargers.
Yeah. So, let's go. So I don't have to suit up? I was getting ready to suit up and be a receiver for the Chargers.
I mean, it'd be you and Quinn Johnson Brendan Rice. You still might, they still might need a guy in the slot. So,
I can do it. I'll get in and out real quick. I'm small.
Well, before you do that, why don't you host the rest of this radio show? Back to you guys, all right?
All right, Martin. Thank you very much. Once again, we are coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios. All right, 17 picks left in this draft.
And all you care about is the Purdy pick.
And no one more Purdy than Sam Hartman. He is the Purdiest out there, and he would be the great pick for the Jets. So 17 picks left in this draft. You never know. I mean, there's so many great stories over the years that I've heard about really late picks. I keep hearkening back to the day. Imagine when I was working in the NFL in the 80s, we had 12 rounds of the draft. 12 rounds.
How long did that last? A week?
And before that, they had 17 rounds for the draft.
Thank you.
So the draft was lengthier, and they've shortened the draft. Well, the same thing with the NBA. We have a 2-round draft in the NBA. I remember when it was 10 rounds. So, you know, you would have all these guys selected by these teams, and obviously none of them would ever see the light of day. But you never know. I remember the great story about the Raiders was John Madden was still the coach of the Raiders, Oakland Raiders at the time. And they had come down to the final 12th round of the draft in 1977. And they had 2 picks in the 12th round. And honestly, they had run out of names. And one of John Madden's, in fact, it was his best friend, was John Robinson, who at that time was the coach at USC. So he calls him and he says, do you have any players that could be drafted that haven't been drafted, do you think could actually play in the NFL? And he says, well, one guy is this undersized linebacker we have. His name is Rod Martin. And I'm telling you, he plays bigger than he is. Mm. So the Raiders take him in the 12th round. They actually released him in training camp. They signed him back. And 3 years later, he intercepted 3 passes in the Super Bowl to win a Super Bowl championship and eventually became an All-Pro. So this is this day. We're seeing all these names coming off the board. It's just sort of this whirlwind of names, most of which we've never heard from before. But someone emerges, as Tom Brady did as a 6th-round pick, as Brock Purdy did as the last pick in the draft just a couple of years ago. And this is where the scouts really earn their money. It's one thing to pick a guy in the first round or even day two.
Not impressive.
But if you can find players on day 3 that are more than just filling out a roster, that actually become starters and productive players, that's where you earn your money.
Yeah, I always think of Isaiah Pacheco going in the 7th round for the Chiefs.
Yep.
And it's very different than in the NBA.
Yes.
In the NBA, it's like you're probably not going to find a Nikola Jokic again.
Yes.
Probably not.
In the second round.
In the second
Draymond
round.
Green was a second-round pick.
But it doesn't happen as often as
very
it does
rare.
In the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
So every year there is somebody or two or three that come out late, and you're right. Give it up to the scouts on those, because it's not impressive if you pick somebody right in the first round. You should get it right in the first round. And so we'll see who emerges out of this draft. You know, especially now that we're coming to the end of it.
Yeah, I agreed with what Adam said about Brock Bowers. I mean, because
yes.
You're talking about, again, taking the best player on the board. And this is something that, unfortunately, in the latter years of Al Davis was not doing, where he was taking guys out of context. And I'm just a big believer, again, you know, especially at the top half of the first round, you've got to take the best players.
Yeah.
Even if they don't fit.
Mm-hmm. Figure it out later.
And when we talk about the Packers, when they took Aaron Rodgers, obviously had no need for a quarterback. You still had Brett Favre in his prime, but they were like, we have this guy projected as the best quarterback in this draft, and he's still on the board in the 20s. We've got to take him.
Yeah, there's strategy mixed with logic at a certain point. And so, yeah, I agree. I agreed with Adam as well on that pick.
All right. So now your team is the Chargers.
That is. Oh, yes. Why do you say it like that?
I like what the Chargers did, yeah, Nancy. I think that they.
Joe Alt. Yes. That was the correct logical choice. In the moment,
well, they also
wanted
to run the ball.
Emotional choice.
Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball.
Yes. But,
have you never paid attention?
Right. But that kind of also makes me. I want Justin Herbert to do his thing, and I want him to throw the ball, you know? But yes, it was the right choice. Protection for Justin Herbert matters. I get it. I still wanted the flashy choice, you know, Malik Neighbors. I wanted that. Call me crazy. Well, but it was the right logical choice. Yes, I know.
It would have been interesting if the Chargers had taken Malik Neighbors, because everyone was buzzing about the Giants maybe taking a quarterback,
right.
Which did not make sense to me at all.
Yeah,
two years ago, you saw enough out of Daniel Jones to give him the huge contract extension.
Yeah, yeah.
He took a step back, but there were a number of reasons for that. But this comes down to Brian Daboll, their coach. I mean, he's the quarterback whisperer. You have to ask him, do you still believe in Daniel Jones? Apparently the answer was yes. But if the Chargers had taken Neighbors, would they have taken Joe Alt, or maybe the Giants would have gone in a different direction?
Because they also could have used Joe Alt.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Any team could use Joe Alt.
Yes, but...
If he turns out to be another Joe Thomas...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would have been interesting, or maybe they would have gone for a quarterback at that point. Who knows what they were thinking?
It's a domino thing.
Everybody's waiting.
The top four picks went exactly as everyone predicted from day one. And this is something, again, every single year we get into the draft, those last couple of weeks, you start throwing out all these hot rumors, and it ends up being at the top what you expect it to be, just like it was last year, you know, with Bryce Young. You know, Stroud and then Anderson, that's what everyone had said it was going to be before the draft and then exactly played out. All right, coming up on the other side, there was another football story that happened this week. Justice was finally served. We'll explain. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Steve Harvin and Monty Bolaños here. Fox Sports Saturday. We are down to the last 12 picks.
Ooh.
By the way, Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane, quarterback that Adam Kaplan told us about, was just taken in the 7th round by the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay.
So, by the way, USC has had 3 players taken in the 7th round. So they're rating the USC roster at the end of this draft. But 12 more picks, and then we will have this draft in the books for 2024. Once again, we're here at the TireRack.com. We're brought to you live from the TireRack.com studios. I want to mention this story because it really surprised me, and I couldn't have been more thrilled. And that was the announcement, and it came very, very early in the morning.
Yes, like 5 in the morning our time here in L.A.
Yeah, it was really early in the morning that the Heisman Trust announced that Reggie Bush was going to get his Heisman Trophy back. And what does that mean? Well, it means quite a few things. Great picture, by the way, of Reggie Bush surrounded by about 11 other former Heisman winners, some old, some new. Also, obviously, he said all the right things about how grateful he is to get his Heisman back. By the way, USC gets their Heisman back. If you don't know this, every year, 2 Heisman trophies are made. Mm-hmm. One is given to the university, one is given to the player. And that now officially means USC has more Heisman Trophy winners than any other school. They have 8. So they now break that tie with several other schools. And this has just been the right thing to do. My problem almost from the get-go with this story, and this is a bigger thing to me when it comes about penalties on teams that are involved in some kind of infractions. Look, taking away victories or statistics doesn't make sense to me. If you want to penalize a team in terms of scholarships, you know, toward the future, that makes sense. But going back in time and taking wins off the books, games that have been played, or stats out of the book, that just never made sense. And I'll give you an example. Major League Baseball, with the scandal involving the Houston Astros.
The Astros.
They didn't take away their World Series win.
No.
And also, when we talk about players busted for PEDs, they didn't take their stats off the books. Now, how do they get penalized? Well, the baseball writers have been penalizing a lot of players by not putting them in the Hall of Fame. And the Astros, that 2017 World Series win is always going to be tainted.
Oh, forever.
So it'll always stand as a tainted World Series, but you don't eliminate it. The Astros won the World Series. They cheated to win the World Series, and it stands as is. So this was the right thing to do for the Heisman Trust. I know they were excited. I know people at the Heisman Trust. I had talked to people about this. Their frustration is that the reason that we had kept the Heisman out of his hands is that the NCAA had eliminated all his stats that year. So according to the NCAA, he didn't play that year, and that's why we did it. Well, they weren't going to wait for the NCAA. They could read the writing on the wall with the emergence of NIL and everything else. So Reggie Bush back where he belongs, part of the Heisman fraternity.
It was about damn time, in the words of Lizzo, about damn time, because there were so many things. I agree with you. Why are we erasing the past? Now, I wanted the Astros to have to give up that championship because I'm a Dodgers fan.
Sure.
So, of course, I wanted that. But I hear totally what you're saying. You can't erase the past. It happened, but you can't penalize them for the future. And it actually is effective, right? What Reggie Bush was penalized for was something to me that was so ridiculous, because LeBron James was driving a Hummer in high school. So you're telling me that he was the only player that was getting any benefits, and it was his family. It was his parents. It wasn't even him. It was something so, so ridiculous. And I was also so happy because throughout the years, we've heard him say that he wanted it back. Like, if he didn't care, then it's different, right? But he did care. He wanted that back. And so it was about damn time. Even Johnny Manziel recently, remember, he was like, I'm not going to go to any more of these events anymore until everything is stored and back to what it should be. Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back.
I interviewed Barry Sanders. I interviewed a number of Heisman winners over the years since Bush got his Heisman taken away, and I'd always ask them the same question. I'd say, all right, let's say you're hanging out in the Heisman house.
Yeah.
The fictionary Heisman house. And there's a knock on the door, and it's Reggie Bush at the door. Do you let him in?
And what they said, obviously.
every single Heisman winner said, whether he physically has a Heisman or not does not matter to us. He is always one of us. He will always be one of us. And that gathering, that picture with all those former Heisman winners, it's a very tight fraternity. That's very exclusive company to be in that Heisman family. And now Reggie Bush is there. And by the way, just going back, his stepfather really was the instigator here. And if you forget the story, basically what happened was he made a deal with these guys who were trying to become Reggie Bush's agent of the future. And then, as Reggie Bush, it was obviously maybe the first or second pick in the draft, the father reneged on his promise as these guys had helped him out with this house. And these were the guys that blew the whistle. I still maintain, even though Reggie Bush has never said this, maybe to the protection of his parents, I don't think he ever had any clue.
I don't either.
I think that is, if he had any questions, his stepfather goes, not a big deal. Don't worry. You just go out and play football.
Yeah.
And so everything handled. It was beautiful.
Yes.
It was great to see.
It was just about damn time. So.
Yes. Now, we had Heisman Trophy winners go 1-2 in this draft. I haven't even had, very quickly here, Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams. Who's going to have a better career?
Oh, that's
I want
hard.
You on
no!
the record right now.
Well, that's not fair because Caleb Williams is now surrounded by so many weapons. So the logical answer would be to say Caleb Williams. They have set him up for major success.
Even if the Bears haven't had a really great quarterback in, oh, I don't know, forever.
I know. But I feel like that is the logical answer. Mm. And I don't like logic.
All right. You need some logic about your Clippers and a lot more going on with these NBA playoffs. This is Fox Sports Saturday. Rolling along here on a very busy Saturday, Fox Sports Saturday, broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, we're going to help get you there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Six picks left in the draft.
Ooh, coming down to the final stretch.
Actually, now five picks left in the draft. So we're coming down the stretch. Jets will have the Mr. Irrelevant pick.
The Purdy pick.
The Purdy pick now coming up at number 257 in this year's NFL draft. Very exciting day for a lot of young men that have, I'm sure, been dreaming of this day to come. Last Sunday, I went back to Rich Orenberger. I overplayed Rich's importance in the draft of 2009. He was a fourth-round pick of the New England Patriots at the height of their power. And as I said, the most historic draft ever because of the drafting of Rich Orenberger. But even for a fourth-rounder, fifth-rounder, even those that are being named here in the seventh round, just to see your name on the board with all the coverage of the NFL draft associated with the National Football League is a huge thrill for these young guys.
It really is. It's exciting to see. You know, day one, all those players with their families waiting for their name to be called. Like you said, the first four went in the order everyone expected. But aside from those guys, everybody else is kind of waiting, right, at the edge of their seats. Like, they really don't know. Will Levis, we saw last year, sat through the entire day and didn't get called, which is an awful feeling, I can only assume. But getting your name called must be one of the coolest moments, something that you probably can't even describe. You have to go through it.
How about this? The Chargers just picked at fifth of last pick of the draft, Cornelius Johnson, who played for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. That's
how
one
convenient.
Of those. This is one of those where, all right, I mean, we need wide receiver help.
Yeah,
obviously, the Chargers lost all the wide receivers, so they definitely need wide receiver help. But, yeah, Jim Harbaugh maybe doing a favor to a young man that played for him at Michigan, helped him win a national championship, second leading receiver from Michigan a year ago, and now he can say, I was drafted in the NFL. So Cornelius Johnson, wide receiver out of Michigan, is going to the Los Angeles Chargers. All right, so we got all this draft talk going on, but in the midst of all this, we also have the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
To start
we
with the
do.
Lakers.
Okay. Why?
Well, because the Lakers have a guy named LeBron James. They have Anthony Davis playing at a high level.
Just.
In fact, when you started the season, if you had said that both those guys would play at least 70 games in the regular season, in fact, Anthony Davis played, I believe, 76 games out of 82. If you had said that, with the way they played at the end of last year, getting to the Western Conference Finals, re-signing Rui Hachimura, you know, obviously D'Lo was going to be coming back.
Austin Reeves had suddenly proven that he could play at a high level in this league. I'd say the Lakers had a pretty good shot of being at least a top four seed in the Western Conference. Instead, they needed a play-in win just to get into the playoffs. And now for the second consecutive year, they could be swept out by the Denver Nuggets. So the question for the Lakers is this. Because I've heard some people make the argument, when there are a lot of people like my son, Garrett, who he wants to blow this whole thing up.
I can understand.
Like he says, I want to trade Anthony Davis. Like he has high trade value, trade him five first round picks, whatever. We need to blow this up. And of course, remember, LeBron James has a player option this year. And if he decides he wants to stay with the Lakers, he will be with the Lakers. If he wants to hesitate, seeing what the rest of the makeup of the roster be, that could change. But some people are just making the argument that don't judge the Lakers on this series against the Nuggets. For whatever reason, they don't match up with the Nuggets. They've had a double-digit lead in each of these three games at some point, and in the end, the Nuggets run away from them. But their argument is they can compete against anybody else. And my thought as a person that has followed the Lakers, rooted for the Lakers throughout most of my life is – you need to be a championship team to even register in Laker history. Kobe Bryant told me that many, many times. Two grades, A and F. Either you win the championship or you don't.
Yeah.
There's no bonus points for losing in the NBA finals or getting to the conference finals. None of that. That's the same as losing every game. You didn't win a championship. So the question is, what standard are you using to determine what direction the Lakers are going if indeed this series ends tonight?
The direction that they're going in is not a good one. And unfortunately, I don't know how you fix it if you keep both LeBron and AD. It's not working. I don't know what's happening in the locker room, but it's not working. And to say, do not judge them on this series. No, I'm going to. We are in the playoffs. This is when everybody steps up. Look at the Orlando Magic blowing out the Cavs the last two games. It is the playoffs. If you cannot hold a double-digit lead three games in a row, that's your problem. And also, good job to the other team. Based on this series, it looks to me like they are not in sync, and there is no quote-unquote culture. We keep hearing that word with certain teams. Miami Heat, great culture, literally beat Boston in Boston for game two. Right now, they're not winning in Miami, but they also don't have my boy, Jimmy Butler, who I love so much.
Whoa. Aren't you going to pause a little bit and talk about Jimmy Butler, who's watching this game?
Yes, no, he's watching the game.
And his hairstyle for today?
Yes, his two little ponytails, two little puffy ponytails. That I am just like, how do you not love that man? How do you not love that man? I do. Okay, anyway.
Yes.
The culture doesn't seem to exist with the Lakers. How is it that in the last game, LeBron loses the ball off his knee and looks at his teammate and basically blames his, or it looks to us on TV like you're blaming your teammate. D'Angelo Russell, not even part of the team huddle. That looks like there's no culture, like there's no respect, like they're not on the same team. When you watch a ridiculous show, have you ever watched any, like, what's the... Terry McBride? No, is that a player? The actor. Hold on, McBride. What's his name? Sean McBride? Is that his name? The actor. He's like so... I'll look it up. Any like ridiculous show like What We Do in the Shadows. Have you heard of that show about the vampires?
I watch the Food Network.
Okay, so anytime there's some ridiculous show and you watch it and you're like, why does this work? Because they're all believing they're in the same universe. You have to all believe in the same thing. The Lakers don't seem to believe in the same thing.
Well, and that comes down to coaching. What is the purpose of a coach?
Well, with
what
LeBron,
is the purchase of, but that's, now you just brought up LeBron. So this is the thing, whether it was Frank Vogel or Darvin Ham, it doesn't matter because this is LeBron James's team. You have given him full control of this team. The deals that they made after winning the championship have been counterproductive. The Russell Westbrook trade was a disaster.
And how they didn't see that from the beginning is beyond me.
You took away key role players
from
that
team. Yeah,
that
are thriving in other places.
Exactly. So, and by the way, Malik Monk, runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year this year. So they've been making personnel moves, whether LeBron wants to admit it or not, he's the guy calling all the shots. And so this is the dilemma, because it's his option this year whether or not he wants to remain with the Lakers. He's publicly stated he doesn't want to go anywhere at this point of his career. He wants to stay with the Laker organization. Obviously, you got Anthony Davis under contract. D'Lo is a walk-away free agent.
And it looks like he's ready to walk.
0 points in game three after hitting 7 threes in game number two.
Yeah.
And then Darvin Ham, who is reacting to what was a direct shot at him and the coaching staff by Anthony Davis after game two.
That was
the debacle. How do you blow a 20-point lead in the fourth and the third quarter unless you try? And, you know, he said there are times when we don't have any clue of what we're doing on either end of the court. Well, that's a direct shot at the coach. And then Darvin Ham's reaction was, well, he just said something in the heat of the moment. He doesn't really mean that. No, actually, he does really mean that.
But it's always someone else's fault.
Right.
Like, after the game where LeBron pushed off, went for that wide open three and missed. How is LeBron at the end blaming the refs? You had a wide open three, my guy. And if this is your team, you should have made that. You 100% should have made that shot.
There are several teams in these playoffs. If you haven't noticed the direction that this league is going, we'll point out on the other side. By the way, Mark Medina, our NBA insider, is going to join us later on in this hour as well. But there is a definite trend in this league that's undeniable in terms of postseason success. We'll explain. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Steve Harbin, Monty Bolaños here, Fox Sports Saturday. Now, don't forget, right after the show, our podcast is going up. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to check out the podcast. Just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow, rate, and review the podcast. Again, just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts. You'll see this show posted right after we get off the air. Once again, we're coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios. And now to get a little deeper into what's going on in these first-round matchups in the NBA playoffs is our Fox Sports Radio NBA insider, Mark Medina, joining us once again. So, Mark, I want to start with the Phoenix Suns for a second here, because I've been spending some time in Phoenix recently, and they are absolutely livid at how they broke up a good thing, a team that won 64 games 2 years ago, to the debacle they have right now with three shooters, no depth, no chemistry, and a team that could very well get swept out of the first round of the playoffs. This idea of putting three superstars together in terms of winning a championship, are those days over?
It's a wild puzzle for the Suns to figure out, because we saw the writing on the wall when they decided to go all in and do this three superstar concept of what is it going to be for their health, what's it going to be for their depth. And ironically enough, there's never been personality conflicts, so the chemistry's there. But when you don't have enough time to actually get that chemistry because of their health and not enough depth. You know, they have some good role players, but clearly not enough to match Minnesota. This is what we have. This is what you get. But I think the troubling thing is I don't know how they get their way out of this. They're kind of sunk so deep into it. They've already made a coaching change with Jane Frank Vogel. They already have money tied down, and because of what's been happening with the Suns, it would be hard for me to envision there being many buyers. So, no doubt, knowing how Matt Ishbia is as an owner, I would suspect there's changes to be made, but how he executes that remains to be seen.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, Monty. Thanks for having me, as always.
So, speaking of how do you fix this, how do you get out of it, the Lakers, Mark. I may be enjoying it a little too much as a Clippers fan, but I was just saying to Steve that as a basketball spectator, it looks like there's just no culture in that locker room. It looks like everybody is on a different page. Am I off by that's just what I see. Am I off?
No, I think you're onto something, Monty. I think that the Lakers do have a culture, but the culture only works when things are going well. I mean, it obviously starts with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they've been playing at an incredibly elite level this season, mostly been healthy, mostly have been matching what we've seen in other seasons. But the inconsistency elsewhere has been very bad, you know, when it comes to their supporting cast, how Darvin Ham's managed things. And so I think that there's always been the right intentions with this season, but as we've seen this first round series, they haven't been able to rely on that. And I think that ever since game two, when Jamal Murray hit that game winner to steal the game, it feels like the team has just been completely lost and lifeless.
Deflated. Yeah.
And so while we did see, the Lakers had a good effort game three, they were up by 12 points, and then yet again, they squandered the double-digit lead. It did feel like the tenor of the series really changed since that game two loss.
Well, and that brings up the question of what's their next move. Now, I have to say, Mark, I have a son who is guy that lives and breathes Laker basketball. He wants to blow this team up completely, obliterate it. He wants to trade Anthony Davis. He says his stock is at a sky high because he was healthy this year. And he goes, based on some of these other trades I've seen, you get 5 first-round picks for him. Start over. Get rid of LeBron. They're not going to go any further for this. But they do have to figure out what's going to happen, the fate of two guys. One is D'Angelo Russell, who has a player option for just $18 million. I'm going to guess that D'Angelo Russell is going to opt out and try to test the free agent market. And then what does LeBron do? I mean, LeBron is calling the shots here. Let's make no mistake about that. He's called the shots on every team he's ever played for. If this season ends tonight and they get swept out again by the Denver Nuggets, does he have faith in the future, being a Laker, that he can make a serious run for another NBA championship?
Yeah, it's a fair question. Whether they stay faith and force a game five tonight or the season's over, I don't think it fundamentally changes the complexity of the questions that you outlined. Now, to be clear, I don't think that LeBron James and the Lakers are going to end their partnership. And while the easy answer for why is, you know, the business end and, you know, the Lakers are used to having star power on their franchises, even when, you know, they're past their prime, I think it also comes from a pragmatic lens that their skepticism that they could even make the best of a trade and with him because of where he's at in his career. But that, I think, leads to the ultimate fork in the road of what they've had to wrestle with last season. Do they put their chips in for a third star, or do they try to do the continuity route? And I think because of what we saw this past playoffs, I think the conclusion is they're going to make changes, but that doesn't mean they'll do the third star. I think that when we've been looking at this philosophical discussion last year, it wasn't about what preference the Lakers have. It was more of what the options were available. And so I think one of the reasons why the Lakers went against the third star route was because there was just a skepticism with Kyrie Irving because of his unpredictable nature that he's shown in past seasons. I think that conversation might change depending on who is available this summer, because they have more draft picks at their disposal. But, you know, when the low-hanging fruit option about Trae Young comes to mind, I think that the Lakers might guard against that, because we've seen with Trae Young, he is a great player, but he doesn't exactly lead to winning basketball. So there's a lot of things to untangle here. And I think the ironic part, no doubt LeBron has influence with the franchise and he is who he is. But when you look at the track record of moves they have and haven't made since the Russell Westbrook trade, they've actually gone against what LeBron has wanted. So while LeBron will always have some degree of influence, I think that they have learned the lesson with Russ that they're going to make the decisions, whether they are good decisions or not, but the decisions that they are making independent of him. But regardless of that, there's a lot of complex things that they have to unpack this season, and it's certainly not going to be easy.
Mark, help me unpack what my Clippers have done. I don't understand why Kawhi Leonard played game two. He seems to not be 100%. We were in a groove game one, comes to play game two, doesn't seem 100%, comes game three, it's certain he's not 100%. Why did we rush him back on the court? Help me understand that.
Yeah, Monster, I've been wrestling with that myself. I mean, I'm always humbled because the Clippers aren't really transparent with exact information.
You don't say.
But it did scratch my head that Ty Lue was saying flippantly that game two was his contact practice. Like, usually you use contact practice for actually a practice setting. But I think that they concluded, based off of what the medical staff told them, was that it was relatively healed enough, fully healed enough, that they didn't feel that they were putting him out in a dangerous situation. But as we've seen with Kawhi Leonard, with his injury history, it's always fluid day to day. And so with game three, you know, he played limited minutes. He was struggling to find a rhythm. And I think it's telling that he's questionable already for game four tomorrow. They're really losing any opportunity for him to get actual practice to build a rhythm. But, you know, to the point that you're making about, okay, what do they wrestle with the fact that now everyone else is thrown out of whack? I think that they concluded that even a fully less effective version of Kawhi Leonard is better than nothing, and that what they saw in game one, it was encouraging that they could hold the fort down without him, but they thought that it wasn't sustainable for beyond a game. So that's what they're wrestling with now. So it's not like the Lakers. They're dealing with uneasy and complex things to unpack, but for different reasons.
Well, I think there's a lot of similarities between these two organizations. You talked about it, Mark, and I agree with you. The idea that the three-star situation for the Lakers may not work. It may not work for the Clippers as well. Obviously, James Harden is a walkaway free agent after this year. And then they have to address the Paul George contract situation. Are you ready to give him an extended deal upwards of $60 million a year, which is now the going rate for free agents on the market? Do you expect the Clippers to do that for Paul George?
Well, I do expect them to do it, but I think that it's very telling that they haven't done it yet, because they already extended Kawhi Leonard, and the feeling at the time was that the dominoes are now going to be put into place where, you know, Paul George is going to get taken care of, then James Harden. That hasn't happened. And while I do think that most of it has to do with the fact that they want to see how the playoffs play out, and they want to use that as leverage for better and for worse with trying to have a good deal that makes both parties feel appreciated, but being very savvy, you know, with the salary cap, it is telling in and of itself that it wasn't something that they're rushing to do. Now, that being said, I think that they do re-sign Paul George. I think they do re-sign James Harden. But until the ink is completely dry on pen and paper, none of that means anything, because everything can be subject to change.
Yeah. Mark, I got one more for you. Okay, so here we are, the Suns, Kevin Durant, down 0-3. LeBron James, Lakers, down 0-3. Steph Curry, not in the playoffs. Are we entering a new era of basketball?
Oh, we certainly are. I mean, we have already experienced it with seeing the Denver Nuggets win the championship last season. We're seeing, you know, a lot of younger teams like the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Oklahoma City Thunder make some run. Maybe we'll finally see the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown win a championship. I mean, the list goes on and on. So the playoff exits or the imminent playoff exits that you mentioned with Steph, LeBron, and KD, I don't think that that means it's the end of their career. They're still going to play, and I think that they're still, you know, productive years ahead of them. But I don't think that either of those players are going to win another championship, and I don't think they'll have any realistic shot of, you know, being on a team that can make, you know, any deep playoff run, barring, you know, significant changes. But while I do have faith in how the Warriors have operated, you know, they have their own complex questions to wrestle with, where, you know, I think that they want to keep Klay Thompson because of not just the sentimental part, but the pragmatic part. But they got to find the right dollar figure. And if they find the right dollar figure, they really have to use that cap space well to actually have a consistent supporting cast around that championship core there.
No, I know a lot of people on the Western Conference side were saying, is OKC for real?
Yeah.
Are the Timberwolves for real? Well, so far the answer is a big yes. Of course, they have a roadblock in their way, and that would be the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Mark, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Monty and Steve, great stuff right back at you. Always appreciate you.
There he is, the great Mark Medina joining us, our NBA insider. Now let's find out what is trending. Martin's been hanging out with us today.
And I'll be here for a few more hours.
Yeah,
Steve.
You will.
Yeah,
that's
you're
right.
Ready. You're just getting started with your day. Are you wearing an Odd Couple hat?
I am.
Where did you get that?
Believe it or not, Rob Parker is a big proponent of pushing his own brand. So,
gee, I would never have known.
Yeah, this, you know, I know it's hard to believe, but this is officially from the Rob Parker store. Contact nice. Him for merch. Rob Parker, MLB Bro, yeah. On social media. He'll be happy
to
hook
it up. No, he gave that
you.
To you. You wouldn't have bought that. I know that.
No, I wouldn't have bought it.
No, that's not.
Yeah, I'm not. I work here, you know.
Right.
However, he probably puts you on payroll if you wear it out in public and people ask you about it. And
you know. Well, you know, Steve, I do a hit on the Odd Couple every Tuesday.
I know
Tuesday
you do.
At,
I know.
Was that 8:30 Eastern, 9:30 Eastern, one of the two.
I'm trying to mark down all the things that Martin does during
right?
the course
well,
of the day.
Well, it's
here.
Like Beyonce says. He work Monday through Friday, hustle Friday through Sunday.
Yes. Mm.
There you go.
There we go.
Very proud
Beyonce
of you, man.
Said it's got to be
it's true.
It's true.
I told him that's the way, and he's doing it. All right, what's going on today, Martin? We got a draft that's over.
Finally.
Can you give us all the picks in order?
Yeah.
Number one, Caleb Williams. Now, number 257, Mr. Irrelevant. Jalen Key, safety from Alabama, pick 257 to the New York Jets. Welcome to the NFL. And everybody's going to say, wait, Brock Purdy did it. So can you, bud.
Yep.
All right. Milwaukee Bucks. Damian Lillard diagnosed with a grade 1 Achilles strain. Doubtful for game 4 tomorrow. Pacers lead that series 2-1. Cavaliers and the Magic all tied up 2-apiece now. As Orlando won earlier today, 112-89. Franz Wagner, 34 points, 13 rebounds. Thunder lead their series 3-0 as they played earlier today down in New Orleans and thumped the Pelicans, 106-85. Celtics in the Heat right now, midway through the third quarter, about 5:20 left. Boston with the 21-point lead, 74-53. Quick math there. You like that, Monty?
I do.
Earlier today in the NFL, the Hurricane and the Islanders, Carolina had a 3-0 lead to start the series, but New York keeps the series alive, winning in double overtime, 3-2. Obviously, now Carolina with a 3-1 lead in the series. And Florida has a 3-0 lead over Tampa Bay in the series. But in today's game, the Tampa Bay Lightning are leading 5-3 with 6 minutes left in the third period. Stephen Monsey, back to you guys.
All right, Martin, great job as always. You'll be hearing Martin later on. Actually, he's on 24/7.
He really is.
On Fox Sports Radio, so you'll hear plenty of him. Once again, we are here coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios. So the first team that could be eliminated from these NBA playoffs would be the Los Angeles Lakers, home tonight against the Denver Nuggets. I don't know if we talk enough about the Nuggets.
We don't.
The Nuggets, in a lot of ways, are very much like the Spurs were back in the day, especially if they can actually back up last year's championship with another championship. I say that because they're constructed beautifully. The construction of this team, not just as they play on the court, but from a salary standpoint. The one thing about the Spurs back in the days of Duncan and Parker and Ginobili and then later with Kawhi, I remember I would look at their salaries and you would say they're paying the right amount of money to everyone. Mm-hmm. That's very rare in the NBA because you can put almost any roster together like you're paying this guy that or you're not paying this guy enough. It was never that way with the Spurs, and that's why they were a consistent winner. They have a player, Jamal Murray, who is your dream player because he plays at a different level in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys come down in the postseason. Like they put up some glossy regular season numbers, and then where are they when the lights are brightest? Jamal Murray's the opposite. He's never made an all-star team. He's never been all NBA, and yet we watch him in the postseason like this guy should be a perennial all-star. And then you have the best player in the league in Jokic. So they're so beautifully constructed, and I don't know. But the problem is one other problem. They're boring. I mean, Jokic is like Tim Duncan was. Tim Duncan was a superstar at the highest level in the NBA. He helped them win five NBA championships for years because he was a contemporary of Kobe Bryant. I said, Duncan has a better resume than Kobe does. He does. No one would ever mention, like, Tim Duncan, one of the greatest players of all time, because he was boring.
Yes, he fundamental.
And that's what Jokic is.
They are. And the whole team is.
Yes.
You know, nowadays, we hear these young players. We watch young players. We just heard Greg Popovich this season say that he's teaching, like, the basics of fundamental basketball to some of these guys going into the NBA. The entire Nuggets is like exactly a fundamental basketball team led by Nikola Jokic. He is boring to some, not to me. I laugh so much in a good way when I watch Nikola Jokic because he goes at his own pace.
Yep.
And he does. I can tell you exactly what move he's going to make. And yet you can't stop him. You know what he's going to do. He's going to take a couple steps here. He's going to look around. He's going to do a little shot. If he's available, he's going to make it. If not, he's going to dish it out. You know exactly what he's going to do, and you cannot stop the man. Boring to some, not to me. I enjoy watching him because I cannot believe how successful he is doing the most basic of moves. He's not flashy in any way, but that's fine. He's got flashy players around him. I don't think we give the Nuggets credit. I don't think we give Nikola Jokic credit. We don't give Jamal Murray credit. We don't give Aaron Gordon credit as the enforcer because you're not expecting Aaron Gordon to drop 29 points. That's what he did the last game. That's not what you're expecting him to do. He is your enforcer. He is, to me, like what the Warriors had in Draymond Green in their prime. He is going to go out there and he is going to enforce whatever he needs. Also, this year, like Michael Porter Jr., he has become a solid third option. He may be streaky, but he is streaky more often than not. Their entire team is a weapon.
You know why Gordon scored 29 in the last game? Because he had LeBron James guarding him.
Yep.
And this is only makes sense.
Yeah.
He can't play both ends of the court.
No, he can't. He does a driving dunk layup. He can't catch up on the other side.
By the way, does Kevin Durant play any defense? Does Steph Curry play any defense?
No.
These two, I mean, when you get along in years, you got to sort of pick your poison, which is why Vanderbilt's been a huge loss for the Lakers. He gave him a little bit of defense, right? They needed that with LeBron. But with the Denver Nuggets, and let's not lose sight of Malone as a coach.
I was just going to bring him up.
Because Michael Malone is one of those coaches that he's like a pop. He holds his team fire to, that they have to play at a certain level. You could sense some frustration during the course of the regular season, their uneven play. There were games where they inexplicably would play bad. The telling sign to me was when they played better teams, they seemed to play a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the Celtics were undefeated at home until Denver came into town. And now I'm sure that he's pleased that his team almost toying with the Lakers in every one of these games. Like that game two was beyond belief that the Lakers would actually lose that game. And to watch Jamal Murray calmly just take the ball, no timeout. There was plenty. He has 12 seconds left. Take his time. Get to the point of the court where he wanted to be. He backs off, shoots over AD, all net at the buzzer. Place goes absolutely nuts. That is a team that has the confidence that comes from what we've been talking about with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns. What's their identity?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the Nuggets is everyone on that team has a clearly defined role. And if you look at the Nuggets game in, game out, yeah, you'll have a game where Gordon maybe scores a little more, especially when he's guarded by LeBron James or not guarded by LeBron James. But that's a sign of a team. The Nuggets were this way. Go back in time with the Celtics and Lakers, Showtime. Everyone had a defined role, and that box score would look pretty much the same game in and game out. That's when you know you've arrived at a championship level.
Yeah, Steve, you're not the only daddy out there. Michael Malone is a daddy.
He's a daddy.
He's a daddy, 100%. And you see him on the sideline yelling, coaching as the game is going on. He's not just letting them do their thing. He is leading them play by play. And you don't see a lot of coaches do that. He is animated on the defensive side of the ball, telling them where to go. And then I also like when Nikola Jokic grabs the team in between, you know, a play or a timeout. They are on the same page from beginning to end. They're on the same book. They're on the same page, and they're going to close that chapter together. I think they're unstoppable. They're going to win.
I believe they are. And after what happened to the Celtics in game two when Miami put up that barrage of threes and
with no Jimmy.
I mean, right now the Celtics are winning again. No Jimmy Butler today for the Heat. So Celtics, they're going to take care of the Heat in the series. I don't see anybody slowing down the Celtics in the East. But
Miami should not have won that game. That Miami should not have won that game. The Celtics should be embarrassed.
If the Lakers lose tonight, aren't you going to shed just a slight tear?
I didn't think so.
If the Clippers lose tomorrow, though, you might.
Oh no, I'll shed lots of tears. You'll be here. You'll see me crying.
All right, coming up on the other side, now that the draft has come and gone, what's next in the NFL? We'll break it down. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Steve Harbin, Monty Bolaños here, Fox Sports Saturday. We are live from the TireRack.com studios. Want to thank our crew today. Martin, of course, getting ready for his show, VJ, doing a great job giving us the updates throughout. Mary Mack.
Yeah. Hey, hey.
How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
She's 21 years old now, and she has just blossomed ever since her 21st birthday. I mean, it's been it's like a game changer.
She looks fly. I know.
Thank you, guys.
She just seems very adult.
Don't tell her that. No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't.
Well, adult in a fun way. I can remember the days.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Yes.
I'm sure you can write a book about the days.
I'm reliving it with my kids right now. So that's what I do. But great job, Mary Mack, as always.
Thank you.
And, of course, Patrick is our esteemed producer that puts this whole thing together. We always mention, listen to our podcast. If you like it, definitely give kudos to our brilliant producer, Patrick.
Yes.
Aw, thanks, guys. Yes. I couldn't do this without you guys, though.
That's how we feel about you.
You two are the real stars here.
Well, no. It's a team effort.
It really
it's a
is.
Team effort. All right, I'm a little bit disappointed that my son, Sam Hartman, did not get drafted.
No, but breaking news for you, though, he did get drafted, just not by the Jets. According to Tom Pelissero, He is now signing with the Commanders.
So, okay, well, very good for Sam. Now, this is, by the way, this is a part of the draft situation where so much in the NFL, I think even more so than any other sport, success in this league is about being in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
Right team, right system,
yep,
and everything else. And so a lot of guys that get drafted late, it actually can be a disadvantage.
Mm.
Because obviously if you're drafted, you are now locked into that team. If you don't get drafted, then immediately, and that's what's going on right now,
exactly,
you're going to see all these guys signed as free agents immediately. A team signed, I don't know, upwards to a dozen of these guys, you know, with the chance of maybe. I mean, Austin Eckler was a free agent,
right,
signing by the Chargers, not drafted, turned out to be a heck of a running back for several years. And so you then sort of get to pick and choose, like, all right, where would I have a chance? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, Jaden Daniels is the quarterback of the future for the Commanders. But if you're Sam Hartman, it's like, okay.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, what if he doesn't pan out?
Yeah. Or just what if I can learn in this situation?
Okay, but how about this? So go back to Washington,
yes,
under their former name.
Yes.
They had the second pick in the draft, and they took Robert Griffin III.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the same draft, in the fourth round, they took another quarterback named Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And it was like, why would you do that? I mean, you just used the second overall pick on the Heisman Trophy winner, RG3. Why would you draft another quarterback in the same draft in the fourth round? RG3 had a tremendous rookie season, beat out the number one pick, Andrew Luck, for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And before you know it, the new quarterback of the team is Kirk Cousins.
Right. You like that?
So, I mean, I'm not wishing any ill on Jaden Daniels. I hope he has a Hall of Fame career. But if, you know, body type-wise, he could be breakable like, mm-hmm, RG3 was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a little insurance in the flowing locks of one Sam Hartman.
He does have flowing locks, man. Like, I want to know what he puts in his hair to make it look,
well,
like
he
that.
Gives credit to his mom for his hair.
Right. Okay, then mom, what products?
But have you been watching these TikTok videos of these women? They are absolutely nuts for this guy.
Yeah, it's because he's got like a GQ look,
yeah,
to him. That's, yeah, why. It's the hair, the facial hair,
mm-hmm,
knowing that that rib was removed and he put it in a necklace. Mm-hmm. It's like all these stories. You're just like, oh, he's like a lumberjack, like a GQ lumberjack.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, mm-hmm, the ladies like that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Apparently. So, you're going to hear a lot of names come off the board in terms of signing as free agents. So, you know, it's and by the way, having gone through this experience working with a former NFL team, when they actually show up, so, and it doesn't take, they're like the next day, right? All of a sudden you're introduced to all the rookies that you drafted and everything else, and you get a look at them and the excitement of showing up and expectations. You never know.
But I think you hit it on the head where you said it's like opportunity, luck, and situation. All of that has to happen, and you just can be in the right place at the right time. And not just with football, but in life. You know what I'm saying? Just in life. Opportunity meets luck and situation, and you just got to be ready for it.
Why do you look at me and say, boy, is there a prime example of that? There's no explaining any of this. This is the luckiest individual
of
all time.
You know, the fact that you did not think you were going to end up working in sports, you historian, and then you just landed a job with the Raiders before I was born, and then here you are.
Luckiest guy around.
Luckiest guy around.
No, I mean, I'm very excited for all these players in the NFL, and I have to take a step back when I watch the big stage, you know, in Detroit, and, you know, 250,000 people a day showing up.
That's
each
crazy.
Day and just standing there. I don't even understand. Why are you there? What is that other than you just say, well, I was there. I it was part of it, but you can't see anything.
It's becoming a sport holiday.
You can barely hear anything. Yes.
It's becoming a sport holiday, which is crazy. Never.
Not in a million years.
And it doesn't even compare to the NBA draft in any way, shape, or form. Like, it really is becoming a holiday. People were waiting, salivating for the NFL draft to get here, even though we all knew who was going to go first. It was just like the excitement of it. I couldn't believe the numbers.
I have watched the evolution of this league over many, many years, mm-hmm, and not in a million years
did
could
you
have
expect?
Ever. You know, and gambling was a big part of it, but now it's just so much more.
Right.
It is a culture in this country. Another draft is in the books. We have a busy week coming up with the NBA playoffs. For all the news, keep it right here. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Bye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.